All my hope is in you. I always get that song mixed up. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus. Love or blood? It's blood and righteousness. Did somebody say love? It's blood, yeah. And love, yeah. And righteousness. He is our hope. He is our all in all. So I was like meditating on what to speak on this morning. I'm thinking of the Christmas story. There's a lot of like supernatural persons at work going on during this time, right? A lot of angelic interactions, things going on in the angelic realm. And the work of the person of the Holy Spirit is really strong during this time. And this is Luke 1, 11 to 15. Where's the clicker? Oh, here it is. Luke 1, 11, 15. The angel of the Lord appeared to him. This is Zacharias, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth, who was a relative, probably a cousin of Mary, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." And we know that John the Baptist proclaimed the coming of Jesus as an adult when his ministry started. He was proclaiming, "Prepare the way." But watch what this unborn baby does at the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. This is Luke 1:39. And now Mary, now she had just gotten the news that she was pregnant and that Jesus was going to be born. Gabriel had told her she's going to have a baby. She arose in haste and went to Elizabeth. This is verse 41. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." So, like, think of this. The Holy Spirit is in anointed John the Baptist from the time he's in his mother's womb. So he has these emotions, and this is what the world calls a fetus, right? And here they call him a babe, but the world calls him a fetus. And so the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, will testify of me. What does the Holy Spirit do? It testifies of Jesus. So John the Baptist is anointed from the time he's in his mother's womb. And when he hears Mary, or he senses the presence of Jesus, he testifies of him. He manifests something. He leaps for joy. The Holy Spirit causes fetal John to leap for joy at the presence of embryo Jesus. Right? And so, like, I'm going to go into a little bit of science here. And I'm not a scientist, but it's very basic stuff. So how can you tell that a cell is alive? It grows, it multiplies, yep. And living cells grow and multiply. And then within 24 hours of fertilization, it's rapidly multiplying into many cells that are already on their way to becoming different parts of the body. Like, it's multiplying. And so dead things do not replicate their DNA or multiply when they're dead. Dead things do not develop into brains, livers, skin, muscles, bones. So when the egg is fertilized and begins to grow, multiply, there's life. And what determines if we're human? Rather than a bird or zucchini, they're alive. When they're on the plant, you know, they're growing, they're multiplying, the DNA's multiplying, right? So what determines that? The DNA determines that this is a human being that's alive, a living human being. And the DNA, the baby has the DNA that it will have the rest of its life, or the zygote, or the embryo, or the fetus, or whatever you want to call it. The DNA for the rest of its life, for hair color, eye color, skin tone, fingerprints, you know, all this stuff, tons of other individual characteristics. The same DNA it has as an adult. And it inherits things. It inherits things from each parent, right? And you can do it at Ancestry. Anybody ever look at Ancestry DNA? I've never done it, but I like looking at YouTube. I like looking at kids who find their parents, and there's like a joyful reunion. You know, I like that. So like the DNA can say, this is a human. This is a male or a female. This is of African descent or Japanese descent. It can say this is closely related to this person or that person. It can say it's like probably a third cousin. And it can say this is a son or a daughter of that person or a brother or a sister. Like they solve crimes that way sometimes. Or they determine parentage in court. They'll do a parentage test. The DNA will say, yep, there's a 99.9999% chance this is the dad and that's the son, you know. So the DNA is all there. And it's human DNA. It's not like the mother's arm or a tumor growing in the mother. The mother's arm has her DNA, but this is distinct of her son or daughter. So two haploid cells, 23 chromosomes each, joined together, and bam, they have 46 chromosomes, and that's how many chromosomes every cell except for the sexual reproductive cell, every cell in your body has, and it has all the DNA that you have. And the baby's not part of the mother. It can even have a different blood type. And that goes into, like, baby Jesus had a very different blood type. The baby only has half of mom's DNA and half of dad's DNA. So I raise dogs, I do genetic tests, and I was posting something. I was like, this one's 50-50. This one's 75-25. And this geneticist was like, well, you can say that one's 50-50 because when you get the mom, you get the dad, you get 50% of each. And now you're 50% this dog, 50% that dog. But you can't say it's 75-25. Because when you take a dog that's mixed, you don't get exact percentages. You get 50% of that dog's DNA. You can say it's three quarters by one quarter. Anyway, it's confusing. But every other cell in the mother has 46 chromosomes and has the exact same DNA as the mother. But this human has distinct DNA as a son or daughter. And so we have stages of human development, and I was looking this up, and like there are different people call them different things. Like they don't agree necessarily on what the name is or what the time span is for adolescents, for seniors. But one thing's all in common. In these stages, it's human development. They're all humans. So just for the first stage, for fun, would be zygote. And this is like when somebody first gets pregnant, 23 chromosomes and 23 chromosomes join together, and bam, there's a flash of light called a zinc spark. Look it up. They actually have videos of it. When they connect, there's a flash of light. And there's a human formed. And you begin to have growth immediately. There's a new person. And then from that, you have embryo. Mary's heard of that. But it's a human embryo. The DNA are the same in the zygote, same in the human. The fetus, human fetus. And you have a baby or infant, human baby. Toddler, human. Child, human. Preteen, human. And you know, some people, they call these right here, like, they call them rugrats. That's another stage of human development, you know? It doesn't matter what you call them, they're still human, you know? And you can call them rats, but they're not rats, they're humans. And so, like, what do they call them? Three-year-olds, they call them threenagers, because they're going through, like, this development, and they're confused about who they are. This is, a new term. It's just weird names, but they're humans. Young adult. And then Jesus was a young adult, and then he was crucified. He didn't get to experience the joy of being a middle-aged person or a senior. Now, if you're a senior, don't get upset, because you still have more things coming. They have this term called young old. How many people are young old here? We're young old. And then we have older old. And then we have, see, it's not over yet. You still have plenty of time before you're a centurion. And then even if you're a centurion, you can become a super centurion. So anyway, just these stages. But every one of them's human. They're just called different names, right? You can call it an embryo. You can call it a fetus. But the Bible calls it a babe. It's like an infant. It's a child. It's a human. Psalm 139:13-16. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Did you know that? You do. The Bible says you know that. We know that. We know that it's marvelous. It's like, you want to see a miracle? Go look in the mirror. You know, you'll see a miracle. And it's like, there's no evidence of God. Go look in the mirror. There's a creation. Scientists haven't been able to figure out your brain or anything, the light coming out of your eyes. There's a spirit and soul in there too. And marvelous are your works. 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. So the Spirit of truth will testify of Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And he caused fetal John the Baptist to testify of Jesus. He leaped for joy in the presence of Jesus. Do children have spirits? It says we're created in the image of God, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And children have spirits. Can they respond to the Holy Spirit? Can little kids respond to the Holy Spirit? Yeah, they can respond to the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist responded to the Holy Spirit. Little kids can respond to the Holy Spirit. And then I was thinking of my kids. I remember Pastor Glenn Cannon, he was talking about his kids, and he had this big smile on his face. He's like, yeah, they were just like raising their hands and closing their eyes, and they were, how did he word it? He was like, they were enjoying the atmosphere or something. You know, like, I don't know how he worded it, but I was like, wow, that's really neat. Like, the way he described it, what they were doing, and they were singing and clapping, and they were, and also, like, there was this, I think I told you all this, there was this Down syndrome guy. We'd go to conventions or visit, and every time, like, I'd sense an anointing, I'd be focused and concentrating on God. The Down syndrome guy would be like, eee! He'd make this noise and he'd start clapping, and I'd be like, he's always got to interrupt, you know, I'm trying to concentrate, and he's interrupting me. And then after about the 500th time, I realized, wait a minute, he's doing that every time that I'm sensing the presence of God. He's enjoying the presence of God, you know, like, and then it started blessing me. When he go, I'll be like, yeah, yeah. Go, go. rejoice in the presence of God. Leap for joy, you know? Like, yeah, that's awesome. And so little kid, Samuel was probably 12 years old when he heard from God. And so babies have spirits and go to heaven. David said, he can't come back to me, but I'll go to him. And David surely went to paradise. And so John 14:7, the world cannot receive that, the Holy Spirit, even when science supports it. Even when you have a logical explanation, they don't want to receive it, right? And 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, but we do. So the Spirit, here's Spirit-filled Elizabeth, and she's talking to Mary. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. The angel told her, but the Lord sent the angel. Right? Sometimes the Holy Spirit might tell you something. Like, believe it. Believe what God's telling you. Who's blessed? She who believed. She who believed. So if you believe, there's a blessing in the believing. Right? Like Jeremiah 17:8. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, who put their like a tree planted by the water. Like, they're believed. Blessed is she who believed. And Luke 1:34-35. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered her and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit conceived Jesus in the womb of Mary. Like, wow. It says she conceived. And we'll get into this later. You know, Mary, she didn't have to understand everything. He just said, the Holy Spirit will do it. He didn't logically explain everything scientifically how it happened. The Holy Spirit did it. God said it. That settles it, right? And we believe it. But looking at science, I don't believe it was Mary's egg, because she had 23 chromosomes from a sinner. I don't believe it was her egg. I could be wrong. And in her song, she calls Jesus her Savior. So she was a sinner too. But if sin is only inherited through the man, then maybe. But I think we inherit sinful traits from our mothers too. But so she conceived. She had a natural birth. Joseph accepted the child as his own. The angel told him to. And that child had a legal right as any other child in the lineage, because Joseph accepted him. And he was a human. He received the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was of the tribe of Judah. He was of the lineage of David. And he had a legal right as a human, our kinsman redeemer. But he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But you ever think of this? He was not created. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, but not like a regular baby. You know, that's why Mary's like, how can this be? We know how regular babies are conceived, right? Not like a regular baby. It was different. He, in Philippians, he emptied himself, made himself of no reputation, and came as a man. But there's Christophanies in the Old Testament. He shows up in the Old Testament. Micah 5:2. He'll be born in Bethlehem, whose goings forth are from everlasting. You know, he created everything. He was at creation. Like, so he was conceived by Mary, but he wasn't created. There was an old Wendell Lamb. He was a pastor in Greene County. I know him through CBM of a Baptist church. He's like, I like the King James because it says begotten, the only begotten Son of God. And that's got a special meaning to it. And but anyway, it does mean born, but or solely born. But yeah, so Mary she's faced with this impossibility, even in just layman's knowledge, the impossibility. And then the angel says, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. The Holy Spirit will do it. If God is calling you to it, don't you worry about it. God's got this. He'll do it. And so here's a doctrine that's floating around that somebody tried to convince me of. That and it's weird because, like, normally we don't have to worry about this. Like, we just trust God. We don't have to understand all the details of creation and all. But sometimes some weirdness will come in, some weird doctrine will come in. And we have to be aware of the Bible. He said the only part of the Trinity that took part in creation was Jesus. And he quoted, and I love to quote this to Jehovah's Witnesses, Colossians 1:16, for by him, by Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. And like, so he's God. He's God, right? He created everything. But the Holy Spirit was with him. The Holy Spirit was there. And yeah, you think of like a lot of heresies, Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam. You know, this is a good one. Who's the creator of the universe? God. Well, Jesus created the universe. You know, Jesus created the universe. A word. So you have a thought, and you use your breath and you make a word, right? You express your thought. You have the thought and then you use a word to express the thought. So like when Jesus came into the world, he's John 1:1, he's the word that became flesh, right? God had a thought, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He expressed that thought in Jesus Christ. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He expressed that thought in Jesus Christ. He's the expression, he's the, what is that word, of the invisible God in Hebrews 1. The image, yeah, of the invisible God. Like, he's God's thought, he's expressing it, right? And so you have a word, you have a thought, then you have a breath, and you have a word. And words are very powerful. The word of God is extremely powerful. He created using the word, right? Jesus created. And like a judge can sentence somebody to prison with a word. Somebody could get married, change your life forever with a word. And but each word comes from a thought, and a breath is used to speak it. There's this, like, the word, once it's spoken is like independent from the thought and the breath, right? But not really, because you want to know why it was spoken. You want to know the thought behind the word, what it's expressing. And so this is interesting, that the Genesis 1:3, in the beginning, God, this is Elohim. I'm not a grammar fanatic, but it's like, it's singular word, but with a plural aspect, like a flock of geese or a cluster of grapes or pair of shoes or something like that. I'm not sure the exact, but it's got a plural aspect to it. It's the Trinity. It's God, and he's there, created the heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit, this word rock or however you pronounce that, meaning breath, wind, or spirit, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, there's the word, there's Jesus. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Was it a zinc flash? I don't know. But God said, right? And so here you have the Trinity right here. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And like, Jesus was not created. He was not created. He's eternal. And Genesis 1:26, And it says, let us make man in our image. Well, the image of God is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And man has a soul, a body, and a spirit, right? And so fetal John the Baptist, he's created in the image of God, and he has a spirit. He has a spirit. He's not even born yet, but he's alive, and he has a spirit in the womb. It's amazing. And Job's friend Elihu says, the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And this is about creatures. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. And Jesus was conceived but not created. I was thinking Jesus, the Word, comes from the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, and it's the Father's plan, the Father's plan. I like how somebody said it's like an architect is the Father, and then Jesus is the builder, and then the Holy Spirit is the realtor. He reveals the house, you know. God planned it, Jesus executed it, and the Holy Spirit reveals it. He teaches us truth and leads us in the truth and reveals to us Jesus, right? He testifies of Jesus. Distinct yet one. Distinct yet one. They're all working together. The Trinity is working together. In the New Testament, over and over in the Gospels, Jesus says he speaks what the Father tells him, right? What the Father told him to speak this. And then 2 Corinthians 3:16. Yep. Yeah. All scriptures inspired of God, breathed of God. And it's God used men, right? Holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. He used men to do this. And I think this is interesting too. Almost all other cults and other religions use one man. God used many men to write the Bible, and Jesus wasn't one of them. Look at other religions and cults. Almost every one of them, it's the guy who writes it is the guy who's the religious guy that Brigham Young, or was it Joseph Smith, the prophet who speaks as of God. He's the one who wrote it. Muhammad supposedly heard from an angel too, and he's the one, you know. But Jesus didn't write anything, but he spoke for sure. It says he is the Word, and God used men to speak it. Yeah. And we don't have to know how God does things exactly, right? Mary believed and asked, how can this be? She didn't understand. How can this be? And the explanation she got was not a logical explanation. It was not a scientific explanation. And all we need to know is God's got this. God's got it. The Holy Spirit will do it, is what she was told. God's got it. In Luke 1:35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will do it. God will do it. And just think of the Holy Spirit. He overshadowed the waters during creation. He came on little Gideon. He filled Elizabeth. He caused fetal John to leap for joy. And he gives power to you to be a witness. Like, he's still at work. And I was thinking, maybe we believe God wants us to do something, but maybe we're not competent or qualified, or we don't feel like we can. Well, if God wants you to do something, we can say, how can this be? How can I do that? The Holy Spirit will do it. Blessed are you who believe. Mary believed, said, let it be to me according to your word. You said nothing will be impossible with God. Let's do it. And then God did it. It's like, wow. Like sometimes God will call you to it, what you think is an impossible task outside of yourself, and just step out in faith and do it. And believe. He'll do it. And he even gives us gifts in the Holy Spirit. And he gives other people gifts to help us. Like, God's going to call you to do something. Well, maybe he'll use somebody else's gift on you to do it. And the Holy Spirit is powerful through which, listen to this, Jesus is exalted. He will testify of me. The word is magnified. His body is built up. Like the gifts are given for the edification of the body, right? The Holy Spirit's doing this, building up the body, magnifying Jesus, magnifying his word. He's a spirit which leads us into all truth. His word is truth. He leads us into the, like, what the actual thought of God is behind the word. And false spirits, they don't exalt Jesus. They don't magnify his word. They don't build up his body. They can have light, like a false peace, a false understanding. They can, you know, the angel of light. Like, why are you surprised false prophets would rise up from among you? Even Satan himself appears as an angel of light. Somebody could be extremely nice, humble looking, you know, just the perfect, a professional Christian. Anybody ever meet a professional Christian? Professional Christian. And, you know, and just be a false light. They don't exalt Jesus. And maybe they exalt the name, but not the person behind the name. Anybody ever heard a message or heard somebody doing that? They're using the name of Jesus, but not exalting the person of Jesus. They can even use the name of Jesus, but not magnify the word. Or they can use the word and not magnify Jesus. But the Holy Spirit does all of it. He magnifies the word. He exalts Jesus. He reveals who the person of Jesus is. He shows you his love and his grace. And this is an interesting one too. Psalm 138:2. I've mentioned this before. This always boggles my mind because the name of Jesus is so high, so high. But you have magnified your word, which is Jesus. The word is the expression of the thought of God, right? It's the Father's expression in Jesus Christ. You have magnified your word above your name. And maybe one day you'll find yourself in a weird situation or in a weird conversation and someone's trying to influence you and they're using the name Jesus, 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 and it's not just a magic name. Jesus is a person. He expresses the thoughts of the Father and they invoke it, and he is the very word itself. And, you know, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? You know, that's what the demons are going to say. They'll be like, who are you? You're using the name, but you don't know him. You know, you can, Satan quoted the scripture. He quoted the word of God, but he didn't believe. Well, he believed and trembled, but he didn't, like, believe with humility. And his pride. The Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. He'll cause you to leap for joy when Jesus comes. He's a motivation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? So we are motivated to leap when we are in the presence of Jesus. In a way. We don't have to get up and leap. You could. Maybe he'll motivate you to do that. But we have the will. We have the motivation to do that. But sometimes our flesh will try to get in the way of that, right? But the Holy Spirit will enjoy the presence of God. It will always point to the Word and magnify Christ. Like, maybe you're asking, how can I be sanctified? He who began a good work in you will complete it, right? He'll do it. How can I be sanctified? 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he who calls you is faithful and will also do it. And he'll do it through the word, and the Holy Spirit will point you to the word and point you to him. And nothing, and say nothing is impossible with God. If God said it, nothing's impossible with God. He will sanctify you. Nothing's impossible with God. God will do it. What he calls you to do, he'll do. Like, that's pretty simple. Like, that's really simple. Like, this is the message. Very simple. What he calls you to do, he will do it. And we don't have to understand all the little scientific, logical details, how it happened. And, you know, by faith, we understand that the world was created, right? In Hebrews 11, we understand this by faith. I think by faith, we understand the incarnation. Like, logically, we can't understand it. By faith, we understand. And what he calls you to do, he will do. Very simple. We don't even really have to know how he does it. We just trust him to do it. Let's pray. Maybe somebody here has been coming a while. They've never received Christ as their Savior. He calls us to salvation, bids us to be born again, a new creation. There's a word. The word is, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Receive the word. Receive it. You don't know exactly how, but he will do it. He will save you. Just call on him. If somebody here is called to do something for the Lord, sometimes it could seem insurmountable, something little, like even make a phone call or go visit somebody. Like, I don't know what I'm going to say. Just step out in faith. Trust him that he'll have something to say through you. He'll use you. If he's calling you to do something, just do it. Just believe him. Nothing is impossible with God, little or big. He can do it all. And Lord, we just pray that we'll step out in faith and trust you like Mary did. We'll trust you, Lord. And we pray that the spirit that's willing will leap for joy in the presence of you. We'll be excited to be in the word. We'll be excited to hear your word. We'll be excited to sing your praises. We'll be excited when we hear good news from a far place, like little kids hearing the gospel out in the mountains. We'll be excited about that, Lord. The Holy Spirit will leap for joy inside of us, Lord. And yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If everybody can stand, I'm going to pull a Mason Hutchinson. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. That's us. Praise you above, ye heavenly hosts. It's angels. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.